Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, and we are on SurviveToThrive.net. Thank you, Steve Quayle. And listen, we're on a four-part series for this week, and I know it's going to be a tough one. I know it's going to be one that is, in some people's view, a very controversial one. But I got to ask you a question. If there's something you don't like, listen, a lot of times in life there's things we don't like, and the tendency is simply just change things so that things would be acceptable. I was speaking yesterday at a high school chapel where there were hundreds of young kids, and we were sharing the gospel there, and it was great. But a young girl came up to me just before I got up and looked at me, and she looked at me twice like, "Hey, don't you know me?" Well, here's a young lady that I knew as a little girl growing up. I knew her parents well, and you know what? I hadn't seen her for a couple years, and she had dyed her hair black. And I didn't recognize her right away. You know, we do a lot of things in life, and we change things when we don't like that. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's the tendency of the homosexual or the gay and lesbian agenda. And I'm talking about activists. So where there are activists listening right now, please understand, I'm not talking about the whole of the community. I've ministered to a lot of individuals over the years. Been a counselor for over 30 years. So in working with individuals, listen, in the activism of today, of the activists that were out there meeting with the President of the United States and demanding change, demanding things to turn around, demanding things to turn their way, actually, this is a grave problem for the rest of America. And so for the, well, maybe gay and activists, leaders that are listening, monitoring, and even government officials that monitor to see what's being said, let me share again, behind this mic is this compelling, well, the love of God. And someone says, well, you know what? Just let everybody do what they want to do. That's the love of God. No, it's not the love of God. It's not the love of God to let a child run out into the road and be hit. It's not the love of God to allow anything and everything to go on in the United States just because there's some that want it. There's a lot of changes that would come, would take place in America. I mean, there's NAMBLA. Everybody knows this. It's factual, and it has to come into the discussion. They are lobbying in political circles, as has been done in other parts of the world. Well, the old phrase, sex before eight is too late. And the concept of the, you know, North American, you know, man-boy love association's desire for men to have sex with boys. And so we think that is an outrage, yet there is lobbying being done. There is even those in political realms right now that are willing to back NAMBLA. Well, let's bring it back down to the homosexual agenda. We're going to touch on that today. And yesterday we talked about, well, the biological side of things. That there is no question whatsoever that when you bring biology and the, you know, just the physical side, the physical construct of a male and a female into the discussion, well, then we have a major, major issue here, because we're saying that the homosexual agenda has to alter biology and the image of humanity, or the physiology of humanity. Literally, I mean, someone put into a chat room last Sunday night that, that mankind is both. We're all both male and female. The question would be then, I guess, are we androgynous? I mean, we all just, if we're male and female, are we? Now, anybody, again, going back to scriptures, God created Adam. That means humanity, but he did it in male and female. Beautifully, wonderfully made. In the Imago Dei, the image of God, the great majesty there. But it had to do with biology. It had to do with function. And so we understand that. And so we talked about that yesterday, and that's up on the archives. Tonight, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, SurviveToThrive.net. Listen, we are into the second part of the series for the week. For those who are new, this is Russ Dizdar. the website for all the information, hundreds of downloads, many things there to be helpful, is shatterthedarkness.net. Just simply www.shatterthedarkness.net. And I'm going to be listing there on that front page every single week all the new events and items and podcasts and things that are coming up. But I'll also put down the topic for the week from Monday through Friday, and I'll list Monday night at 6 what the title is, Tuesday at 7, Wednesday at 6, Friday at 6, and so you can check out tonight, Altering Spirituality and Changing God. Wednesday night at 6, Genetics and Those Who Want to Leave the Homosexual Agenda. And then Friday at 6 p.m., The Homosexual Agenda, Propensity and Altering Your Child's View. We're going to dig into how far some agendas want to go. And we had sometime in the past, we've done this course that we do locally in training and so forth. It would be like a four-day seminar. It's got about 20... Right now, I think there's a couple links that aren't working. We'll have to redo. But there's 22 hours or more of one-hour sessions and teaching notes and resources. The title of it is Sexual Decadence and the End of Man. Courses are the only things we ever charge for. But right now, anybody listening, if you want to just send anything, I don't care. You know, and if you don't have any money, just send me a note. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net, and I'll get you the course. But it's really good in the sense that it gives a big, broad perspective biblically and biologically, and it will deal with addictions, sexual addictions, and also freedom and power and forgiveness and, you know, renewing our lives. And it'll deal even with the concepts of incubus and succubus, all kinds of things. And you can go to the link and look at the listings. Sexual Decadence and the End of Man is the title of the course. And right now we're saying to all the listeners, SurviveToThrive.net, ShatterTheDarkness.net, those listening worldwide right now, just listen, any kind of donation to that course. And we've already had some get it as of today. They heard last night, and so we're glad, and we want to get that out. Now, we did change the topic this week, so next week will be the concept. 4 days, we'll talk about preparation for Armageddon and the weaponization of satanic powers when it comes to that. So that's next week. Tonight, Altering Spirituality, Changing God. Listen, it wouldn't be the first attempt to change God. I mean, there's no question if you understand the fallen cherub, Ezekiel 28, and, or Isaiah 14, there was an attempt to alter the totality. I mean, spirituality on an infinite level, folks, infinite level. And because of that rage and that violent attempt, that insurrection, everything has changed, even down here, because we have fallen prey. That's why there's death. That's why there's, you know, rape and sin and war and bloodshed and depression and hurt and all the other things. The political struggles are a manifestation of the real spiritual engagement that is going on. It really is. And so the spirit behind globalism is an operating presence globally. The global mind, this conscious universe, the energy field around the planet, is described in Ephesians 2 as the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work. And that word at work means supernaturally operative. And that word air there means the immediate dense atmosphere around the earth. So there's a presence that is altering and changing, even now changing politics, policy, military strategy, military weaponization, concept, critical mass thinking in the air. It all involves the leadership of the world, the kings of the earth, the nations, and the masses of people. Now, God spoke about it 3,000 years ago in Psalm 2. So you and I are living in unprecedented days. The spiritual ramping up will be vast, but it will affect political ideology. It will affect the saber-rattling of the nations. And we are in for, number one, the most spiritually empowered days or manifested, you know, presence around us, of satanic presence in all of history. There'll never be a time, there never was a time in history that we will see this level of supernatural dark powers. Now, masqueraded in light in many of the cases. Presenting a different Christ, a different message, a different agenda, of course. That is the power behind globalism. Now, within globalism, there is an acceptance on some level of the gay, lesbian, you know, movement. There is that in the New Age movement. Because the spirituality is conflicting and quasi and adaptive as long as it can have its agenda. It doesn't care. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you now that even Luciferians and Luciferians that are listening and Satanists that are listening in and chosen ones that are listening in, I'm telling you what you already know. Everybody in those fields knows that sexual corruption, perversion will help darken the construct, the conscience, the perceiving power of people's lives, so that moral degradation will bring about a weakening of discernment, perception, and broaden the platform for the dark powers to operate. And now, again, you can do a study of that if you want to biblically. And there's a lot of believers, a lot of Christians listening. And again, we greet everyone that's listening because we know that in this 1 hour, it is providential, supernatural, that it is of a divine appointment, and even if you're getting it by archive a month later. You've been prayed for, and we've asked that God, in all of His goodness, in all of what God wants to do good in your life. He wants to reach your life. If you don't know God, it's possible to have a personal relationship with God. And I want you to know that. And that's the motivation behind my life and what we're talking about here. And the reason I also share this is that I've seen many, many homosexuals come to Christ, change their lifestyle sexually, and they want to be out. Now, that's part of what gay lesbian leaders are going to have to deal with. And gays and lesbians everywhere are going to have to deal with the fact that thousands and thousands have left. There's ministries all across the nation that are helping people that are wanting out and finding freedom and wanting to be heterosexual and wanting a powerful, dynamic relationship with God. You listen, there may be some that say, well, I don't feel any guilt. I don't feel anything wrong. It's not wrong. And again, that propensity to force everybody into telling you that it's okay. But the sad news, though, is if you got every person in the world to say to you, if you're gay or lesbian, and if they all proclaimed, it's okay, you're accepted, all that kind of stuff, in some sense, outwardly, it's like a Band-Aid. You might feel okay in one sense on the outward, but on the inside is where the issue still reigns. It's why there's an anger. It's why there's a pain deep down in there. Because like the train, the billion-dollar, beautiful, high-speed train that was forged to be on the tracks and to run across the country and carry people and function and do well. But it has to be on those tracks. When the train says, I don't want the tracks, I want to change the physical dynamics, and I'm going to jump off the tracks, and I'm going to run down the streets. I'm going to go across a dirt field. Well, the train's going to run into a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. It's not going to function. That's not what the function was for. So, biologically, function of the sexual properties of a male and a female, it's clear. It's clear when it comes to procreation. It makes sense. It's reasonable. It's one thing for someone to say, okay, I agree, but I want to do this anyway. Because there's going to be those who are in Nambla, those, listen, I have dealt with people that have been into bestiality, necrophilia, and sex with the spirits. And in that course we talk about and deal with some of those things. Got to understand, you know, there's a lot of altering of the original. And that is called, my friends, transmutation. Mutating the original. That's what Satan is all about. In his own willed transmutation and rebellion against God, violent rebellion, by the way, that's what he's brought here. And that's what's inside humanity. If you're sitting back sometimes saying, what is wrong with humanity? The sin code. There's a property within us that propels us against what God has originally made and created for us to be. And that you can study again. If you're an honest researcher, go research Romans chapter 8, and it will talk about the sarx, this the flesh, or it's actually a sin nature, a code within that is in opposition to God that leads mankind to every sort of evil, even inventing ways of evil. Now, you can check that out yourself. But that includes our sexuality. Because all of us would agree, I hope, that a 40-year-old man that gives a quaalude and gives alcohol to a 13-year-old girl and then somewhat forcefully makes her do and be a part of sexual acts, well, we know. He said, well, that was 30, 40 years. It doesn't make any difference if it was yesterday. If someone would have ever done, my daughter's no longer 13, but if someone would have ever come and done that to my daughter at 13, I guess I would come out with guns blazing. I would be after the person. I believe without question in forgiveness. But I want you to understand, being involved in criminology and in law enforcement and dealing with undergrounders, there's some people that don't care about forgiveness. They're going to do it again and again and again and again. So God ordains law enforcement, Romans 13, and done the right way, by the way, done by in God's order of things, they're supposed to bear the sword. And so there needs to be a dealing with Roman Polanski and anyone else like that. And there are women out there that know that their perpetrators have gotten away, and now we got this big controversy today, by the way, with the new technology, with your license, where the feds are going to take all the pictures and run them and do facial, you know, recognition software. It's going to identify. Well, they just found a guy that had raped a little 8-year-old girl and cut her neck up all up, just cut her neck all to pieces. And left her, and 14 hours later, she's still alive, she was found. Well, now I believe it's, 20 years later, or I don't know if it's 30 years later, I forget the amount of years, that this new facial recognition process has found the perpetrator and has brought him in for justice. Now, that's big. That is really big. Listen, if you're brand new, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. On the web. If you're listening today in the midst of kind of what some would feel is a controversial subject, and I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of Americans, politicians, and even pastors that will not speak on the issue. On the one hand, there's people that are just mad, yelling and screaming, and they're just, you know, they have bad, you know, bad language about how they're dealing with it. See, I believe God came to give grace and mercy to all of us. Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up, everybody, every one of us. But what happened at the cross was the love of God, total forgiveness, not just for psychological guilt, but for real moral, spiritual guilt that, you know, we have been the offenders. God has come to bring forgiveness and to break the sin code, break satanic bondage over us, and give us new life. And I don't know if you've ever heard that. Maybe you're listening and you're, again, in a military installation somewhere. Maybe, again, another land, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, you know, the UK, all through Europe. We're noticing now that there's folks right there in the Vatican that's downloading some of our podcasts and listening. to some of the stuff we've talked about when it comes to undergrounders, Luciferians, and satanic ritual abuse. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing that you're here today, and I want you to know something. I come here with one thing. I love you, and that's important for you to know, but God loves you, and that's vital for you to know. God's done something about the human condition. An old rugged cross where God in human flesh hung on your behalf and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So whatever the addictions you have, whatever the sins you have, and if you're struggling to get out of homosexuality, maybe the activists will tell you, you can't leave. Or if you do, we will verbally assault you. Let me tell you something. I'm telling you, you can leave. Come out and come to Christ, and there's the power of God, and there's healing that can identify. By the way, somebody wrote to me yesterday, and I had gone offline and went on to do other things, and so I want you to know that I'm going to write you tomorrow morning, Wednesday, a response, a good response. I see the pain that you have shared, and you wrote in to talk about your struggle. And let me address something here. By the way, if you ever write in, unless you give me permission, especially if it's a counseling issue, there's no way I'll ever read your stuff online or on live radio or say your name. If you do have questions during the live radio show or a comment, you're more than, you know, we invite you to send it, shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. But somebody struggling, definitely wanting out of the gay and lesbian agenda, and wanting the power of God. But there's a question that they and many others ask. Why do they have the feeling on the inside? Where does the feeling, and again, you find boys and girls, 16, 17, 18, 19, you're going to find boys and girls that have sexual or physical and then a sexual attraction for each other. But when it comes to, you know, lesbians, you know, because I've engaged and dealt with and ministered to women who are lesbian that have lust and sexual attraction to other women. They see another woman and they see features and they want that. And that's true about men that see boys and or other men and they are sexually attracted. And where does that come from? But you got to understand something. Those same kind of feelings crop up among those who are in NAMBLA. Those kind of feelings crop up among pedophiles. Those kind of feelings crop up in the midst of bestiality and necrophilia and even sex with spirits. For those who are involved in astral projection, you know what I'm talking about when it comes to astral plane psychic sex. And so you got to understand how arousal works. That we've been created with it. It's a good thing in the right place. Like the train flying down the tracks, enjoying its, you know, onward going, you know, and progress and reaching destinations and so forth. So it is with arousal, sexual arousal. We've got it as and it's to go in one specific direction and to be blessed and pleasurable and exciting and so forth. You see, I'm talking as one who's been married 30 years. I'm talking as one who knows the joys and knowing that it's not the center of life, that it's not the central reason for relationships. That sex is not the glue that keeps a man and a woman together. And in the gay-lesbian issue, it is sexocentric. It is completely a sexually oriented connection. It really is. I'm telling you from a guy that has been involved with ministering, speaking in groups, and dealing with folks that have struggled and fought. And if you're saying, well, I've got these feelings, you know. Listen, a 30-year-old man can have sexual feelings for a 12-year-old girl. He can look at a 12-year-old girl or vice versa. There could be arousal can get started by certain measures. That's why it's important how women don't, how you dress, is very important. What guys do and how they dress is very important. That we don't purposely dress to elicit arousal. That's important for all of us. I mean, some people, all they care about is going to workout places or bars that are nothing more than meat markets. You know, and they go through all the dysfunction and they think that sex is, you know, it's like, again, you know why some people have sexual addictions? Because sexual arousal and going to the ultimate end of that arousal is pleasurable. And when people feel pain and when people are depressed, you know what they do sometimes? They go out and have sexual contact because of the feeling. Some people have food addictions that when they're feeling bad and depressed and whatever else, if they just go eat some good food, it emotionally feels good. And sex, no matter how dangerous and illicit and whatever else, well, on the one hand, it can feed emotional issues. But if you don't deal with emotional issues, you may continue to use things that are wrong and will bring even more complex dysfunction and problems and guilt. While you're trying to medicate the emotional issue. You see, the desire, you know, for, you know, to answer the question, and I'll answer this from saying that I've talked to both, you know, girls, women, men, boys that have had sexual arousal for their own same, you know, for a boy, or a man, woman, woman. Where does it come from? And in our work with individuals, we found in a number of areas. One, it can come from some kind of sexual thing that occurred when you're, you know, you're a child or when you're developing. It could occur at 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here's what happens when any child is first sexually aroused and they are aroused to the point of going all the way to the destination, if you know what I mean. And they go all the way to that particular point. And it feels good. Got to understand something. They've just been imprinted for pattern. So that what, you know, who caused the arousal, how they caused the arousal, and taking them to that very explosive experience, you know, of good feeling, well, guess what? That builds an imprint that says to our sexual makeup, desire the same, you know, look for the same thing to get the same results. And so if a child has been sexually aroused, like say again, a boy, let's say a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old has been messed with, whatever, or an 11-year-old boy, a 15-year-old boy, 15, messed with sexually by a man in his 40s, things are going to happen. Listen, let's take a break right now. We'll come right back in a few moments and give you more of these answers. Let's listen to Steve. For those that are listening direct on the archives, we're taking a moment here on the Tuesday night show as Steve Quell gives information about InnerHealth and the products. We're going to just take a few moments to tell you about Mansfield and the conference coming up October 23rd, 24th, and 25th. And, you know, take a few moments to check out shatterthedarkness.net on the web. A lot of things that will lead you to, all together, probably hundreds of MP3s to download, information that's there to help, and some of the agenda that we have and what we're all about. So if you are listening to Tuesday night, we always have a couple of minutes at 7:30 p.m. where Steve Quell is giving the advertisement for InnerHealth and live right now. And we're just taking a few moments to tell you on this archive, in this brief few moments, about how you can check out some of the events and news items and new broadcasts that we've got. We'll be right back on live here in about 30 seconds. So we do want to say thank you to Steve Quayle and to, well, InnerHealth, and take a check, survivetothrive.net on the web, and take a listen there. Don't forget also the Best of Steve Quayle on Friday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time also. You can find out about all the individuals he's put up. Just go to the stevequayle.com site, and you can find out more. And all of the great, listen, he got incredibly cutting-edge news items up also. Again, Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Listen, we're talking about the homosexual agenda. We're on the second part of this week, and we're dealing with... yesterday was the biological side and trying to alter the physiological, biological side of man. And then here we're talking about the altering of spirituality, or the altering of God in the context of the activist, the gay lesbian activist, you know, the movement. They have to push for an altering spiritually, an altering of God, in order to get acceptance. And there's a big struggle here, big fight here. We're going to talk about that. As we've been mentioning, when it comes to if a man who gets sexually aroused because he's already into homosexuality for a 15, 16, 18, 19-year-old boy, whatever, and this is a person, for the first time ever, they're sexually aroused and brought to that destination point of pure joy, ecstasy, whatever. Well, that brings an imprint, and if it's done again and again, that brings a pattern. That's what the physiological side then begins to identify with. It looks for the same starting points to arousal. It looks for the same processes that will bring itself to that ultimate, you know, experience of pleasure. That's how patterns get built in. That's how it is when little young girls are taken advantage of by uncles or grandfather, whoever, and they are once again and again and again and again violated. But along with the violation, they experience sexual pleasure. And so the pattern gets inbuilt. They feel guilty for that. They feel, later on in life, angry at the person who did the stuff. They feel shame, all these kind of things. Let me just say a quick word to all those who've been through sexual abuse. I'm going to tell you, I'm telling you, this is what we've seen by the Spirit of God again and again and again. God says, you're not the one at fault. And you should have no shame about what was done to you and against you. And that Jesus comes to bring, you know, help and healing. But here's where we need to understand something. Whatever lifestyle we've come out of, if it's, you know, sexually wrong and we've been involved in all kinds of stuff. And listen, we've dealt with prostitutes and girls that were strippers and people in the porn industry, and you're... Even in the course we, you know, taught on the subject, we have testimony and video from people out of the porn industry. Because of the addictive nature, like cocaine. I have what one guy told me one day. He says, you know, Russ, I'm free from cocaine. I'm not getting, you know, high any longer with it. But if I just see the powder, he said, it's like I start to salivate. I just see the powder and it reminds me of what it used to give me, and I've got to make sure I draw the line and don't go near and realize, you know, where to stop. Now, that's true also about sexual sins and addictions and things that we've gotten ourselves into. Because we can build in the patterns of arousal to explosive pleasure again and again and again and again, to where our physiological side, our biological side, you know, seeks that, wants that, and drives for that. So one of the reasons why there can be a drive that a man has for another man or a woman has for another woman is something occurred to create the pattern in the beginning. And I'm going to tell you that I've counseled a number of folks, and that's exactly how they got into being homosexual, being lesbian, and the pattern was put there. And in coming away from that and stopping that, it's almost like people that are trying to break the cigarette habit because of the nicotine. On the one hand, your lungs are saying, I need nicotine. On the other hand, people realize that smoking a cigarette after a meal, smoking a cigarette after sex, smoking a cigarette in the midst of confusing and frustrating and bad times, there's an emotional sense that brings peace or quiets you down. You got to realize the emotional side, and again, the pattern that's developed. So look at the pattern issue. We'll deal with more of this down on Friday on breaking these patterns. Now, there's the pattern issue. Number two, the issue of just simply the sin issue. Is it a sin for a 50-year-old man to go after an 8-year-old boy? Nambula says no. All of history and all of humanity basically, clearly, and of course the scriptures would say, it's sin. It's wrong. An 8-year-old doesn't have the construct yet to understand anything. And we all agree with that. And we would agree that rape is wrong. And we would agree that many of the things that we see going on is wrong. But when it comes to the area of, well, what if a 25-year-old woman wants to be with a 23-year-old woman and they all feel good and they all receive the pleasures and they are mutually wanting to do this? Well, what if it's four women? What if it's four women and two men? What if it's an orgy? I mean, people who have orgies, they say it's okay, that it's right, nothing wrong with it, don't bother us, don't sit around and give us any of your Bible-thumping stuff, you know, get out of here with all of your, you know, your old, antiquated views. Listen, seven people having sex together is a fun thing. Swingers, you know, and exchanging husbands and wives, and some believe that adultery's okay, some believe that online adultery's okay. What do you say? What do you think? Is there no line? Is there no right and wrong? Let me tell you something on the biblical theological side. When God says something is right and good, and this is the way it works, we're talking about the infinite God that knows, for example, the train, billion-dollar, beautiful, high-speed, state-of-the-art train placed on tracks that can run across the country and carry people and function and take goods and services everywhere. But if the train had a mind of its own and said, I don't want to do that. I want to drive on the streets. I want to drive in the fields. Well, you all know that. You know the answer. I mean, it's simple. We know that it won't function right. And so God creates, and the perimeters he creates in is good, and it functions right. It functions right. A man and a woman who've committed their lives to each other, to be married and to be partners and allies in life, and to love each other and to live in companionship and friendship for life. A part of that relationship is sex. It's a blessed thing. It's a good thing. It's a pleasurable thing. And they can have all the fun they want. They can have all the fun they want. But what if the man says, you know what, I want to have fun with two or three other women. What if the wife says, I don't want you to? What if the wife says, I want two or three other guys? And the husband says, I don't want you to. You see, God creates beautiful, right order that works, that is good. He's created things at the pinnacle, the height of what would be good mentally, emotionally, volitionally. That's why we read in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, you know, God, good. You see the word good, circle it. Good, good, good. When he created mankind, humankind, Adam, very good. God says, your creation, my creation, very good. And then, listen, the companionship. So, I'm just saying that companionship, friendship, love is even higher than sex. Sex is a part, not the center. If you make it the center, and I've done weddings and marriages and, you know, for 30 years as a pastor, and we've done the counseling that goes with it before and so forth to get people prepared. Because if it's a flash in the pan infatuation for sexuality, guess what? Out of 10 that instantly jump into sexual relationships and want to get married, 8 of those cases are going to be gone. 8 of those relationships or marriages are going to be gone. Relationships have to be built on loving the person and building companionship and building a life And even when things like that have broken down and everything has gotten screwed up and pain has come in, all I can tell you is what I've seen over the years. God's mercy, God's grace, God's restoration, God able to come in and heal the broken heart, God able to take us out of the sin-filled patterns that bring harm and destruction and dysfunction to our lives, and lift us out of that darkness and bring us with power in Christ to a new way of living. A new way of living. Out of the darkness into the light. So if you're listening right now, by divine appointment even, as, again, someone said they wrote the other day, and they knew it was a divine appointment. And I want to say again, I'll be writing them a pretty good letter here, giving some definitions. Why does somebody have the feeling, a man wanting another man or a woman wanting another woman? Well, it could have come from the patterns that were built, the first arousal, pleasure patterns that were built. The second could be the idea of environment. You know, at a college, at a party, drunk, and two girls get together, or vice versa, two guys. It can happen in situations where there's drugs and alcohol that lend itself to the, you know, breaking down of what you would, you know, normally have chosen. And then you go ahead and again, listen, let me tell you something about arousal and then the idea of sexual explosion, you know, reaching the pinnacle. People can have, you know, people can have sexual pleasure. They can invent, you know, you can do stuff with all kinds of, I want to be kind of careful here live, but I'm saying you can mess with your sexuality and find pleasure in doing all kinds of weird things. I have people that come into my office and said, listen, I had this angel come to me, and this was a beautiful woman angel, and it was a professor said to me, oh, this is the best sex I ever had. And he knew it was demonic. And it took him, let alone the possession that occurred after more times doing this. I mean, we had to cast a demonic presence out of him, let alone the fact that he was really altered by the experience. I'm glad to know that he came out and he's growing strong away from it. Actually, he got married and he's moving in the right, you know, directions in his life. And there's no, it's been years now. So I'm telling you again, there's real power for change and freedom. And everybody should have the right to say that. Everybody should have the right to hear that. Gay, lesbian leaders, if you're listening, and if they're not, they're wrong. They're wrong in not allowing someone like me to say to gays and lesbians, there is another life. Christ can come into your life and change everything. And if you want to be free from that, you can come out. You're allowed to choose and get out. And that's happened by the thousands. But activists will do everything, altering the concepts of biology and the physiological side of man, altering spirituality in the face of God, the nature of God. And then, like tomorrow, we're going to deal with the altering of genetics. And we're going to really dig down into the, is it a genetic predisposition? Now, I'm going to say no now and bring you some more information on that tomorrow at 6 p.m. Right now, what's involved with those kind of desires? It can be a spirit, a familiar spirit from family line. It can be that a 12-year-old boy was sexually aroused and brought to pleasures and so forth by a 40-year-old man that was possessed or demonized. The spirits can transfer. A law enforcement agent and I went to deal with a young man where this kind of thing occurred. He was at a rave party where an older man had sex with him. And then this went on for a while. And when we dealt with him one time, began to pray with him. I'm telling you the truth before God. A demonic presence came up. Very hideous voice. Very wicked, unclean voice. That even confessed how it occurred and said that it wanted to keep him in there. And we commanded it to leave. Now, that's not true of every case, but that's true in some. So it can be something that the dark side spiritually, you know, connects people into and leads people to. It could also be experimentation where somebody does something when they're not really knowing And again, the pattern is built, the arousal is there, everything occurs, but the sin nature inside wants to keep driving off the tracks anyway, and as far from God as possible. That's the predisposition of the sin nature within the construct of fallen man. But there's an answer for that. We'll mention that answer again here in just a few moments. When it comes down to the altering of God, now this has happened in the New Age movement, this has happened among the Gnostics 2,000 years ago, where there's, you know, a different belief system, therefore, you know, instead of just saying, this is what we believe, and we reject biblical revelation, we reject God in Christ and the cross, and that message, and we reject the nature of God. Instead of just saying that, the idea is, well, you know what? Here's what we are, and we want to alter God. We want to change God. And so, along the way, there's been the goal to say, God made me this way. God created us to be, you know, sexually, you know, a variety, that we're both male and female, that we can experience anything and everything. And then all of a sudden, God is the ones, you know, that they're saying and using as the force behind homosexuality. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are those in NAMBLA that will say the same thing. God doesn't care. God loves sex. God gave us sex. It's a gift. And we can use sex, and it's a pleasurable thing. And, you know, you can have sex with anything, everything, you know, all the time, anywhere, whatever. Well, not so, because of the guilt, the dysfunction, of the pain, and the problems that come with it. And so instead of changing us changing, instead of getting out there and getting the train and getting it off the dirt roads and back up on the tracks where it can function perfectly and well, we want to say, you know what? Remove the tracks. No tracks to go back to. And so the idea of removing the real and awesome and mighty and relational God, changing God, changing the face of God, changing the attributes of God, changing. And you can't do it with the Bible, but many, many gay activists, including those in the Episcopal Church and Bishop Robinson, they've attempted to do this. And now again, any rational, open discussion of it, it's clear. The Bible's clear. God creates male and female. He creates them to procreate. He puts them together. He blesses them. There is not an iota of God bringing men to men together, women to women together, and blessing them. Not one. And there's no wedding for them. There's no relationship for them. There's none of that. Matter of fact, all the way through the Old Testament, all the way to the New Testament, you know, the Bible's clear about that. It is changing the natural use, Romans chapter 1, verses 18 on down, exchanging the natural use for things that are unnatural. They're biologically and physiologically not correct. And so, as the world as a whole exchanges the glory of God for a lie and suppresses the truth by their actions of wickedness, hey, listen, even if you're getting mad, go read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 on down. If you're sitting back there as a gay, lesbian activist saying, there's no change, there's, you know, whatever. Listen, if that's your opinion, that's one thing. But the difficulty is that you're going to try to demand that everyone shut up and vocally approve of your opinion. That's not going to happen. And while gay and lesbian agenda, the homosexual agenda, is trying to change biology, change spirituality, trying to reinterpret the Bible, change the Bible. Listen, I've dealt with the pastors that said that became a homosexual, and the woman pastor that was a lesbian. Now, they weren't pastors in any biblical sense of real Christianity, nor did they preach real salvation at all. They were just wanting to somehow bring God down into their altered lifestyle and force God to fit. Instead of saying, God, Almighty, Everlasting, I surrender and yield to you, and your goodness and your right ways that are the best, that work the best. Instead of doing that, we're saying, you know what the homosexual agenda is saying? We demand that God submit. We demand that God, that's why that guy that said he used to be a pastor and was now engaged in sexual relations with another man, that's why he was trying to say Jesus was a homosexual with the disciples. Now, is there an iota of biblical revelation? No. Matter of fact, there's where I'm going to sit back and say, leave. Listen, if that's your choice and you want to live that way, that's your choice. But leave the scriptures alone. Leave God alone. You're not going to alter God. You're not going to alter the scriptures. You might try to and alter people's minds and perceptions and try to convince them. But anybody reading the scriptures will be able to see clearly that 1,600 years of Spirit-given revelation is very clear as God in His nature and in His creative acts and redemptive acts says no, homosexuality is not what He created. It is sin. It is a dysfunction. It brings trouble and problems and even brings a change in the core of personality. You don't believe me? Read Romans chapter 1. This is not a new problem. Listen, the church was birthed and began to unveil the gospel to Rome. Rome was sexually decadent in every way, and the cults and the occult and the blood cults, Bacchus and so forth of Rome, they were very open to the orgies, to the senators having sex with boys, having their own boy in their, you know, living with them, their own sex toy. I mean, in Rome, you know, political people had sex toys, boys, and vice versa. And you can go back and see how women were treated. And so please understand that the homosexual agenda, because of the propensity to clear its conscience, will seek to change God, to make the Bible submit to their agenda, and to make Christ submit to their agenda. And let me tell you something for all of us to know, because of that propensity, we'll talk about Friday, they will seek to demand the church to submit to their agenda, to change. Now, that did occur with the Episcopalians, on a certain level anyway. You got to understand, you know, man doesn't make up, you know, the church as, you know, circumstances change. It's under a sovereign creation. Jesus said, I will build my church in the gates of hell. The body of Christ, worldwide, by the probably millions and millions, and if not billions now, a couple billion maybe, I don't know how many, God does. But when a person is saved, Christ comes in, they're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13. And we are part of the living body of Christ, where God dwells and gives a mission and gives us His call to reach the world, and Christ is coming to redeem. The church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, it's people like me. I'm in the body of Christ. I'm connected to all Christians, Chinese, Russian, wherever in the world, wherever you are in the world, in Australia, Canada, wherever, if you're a believer in Christ, born of the Spirit of God, you and I are brothers in Christ. You're my sister. You're my brother in Christ. We are baptized by the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. We have one Lord, you know? And that's, you know, listen, that doesn't change the fact that I'm a human being, but I'm a part of a spiritual, well, you can call it a kingdom, you can call it a people, but God has said He takes, listen, it's not God's will that anybody perish. God is not willing that even one man or woman perish, but that all would come to repentance, come to Christ. We're lost, folks. And if you're in the activist homosexual agenda, I'm just saying that I believe that you're aiding and abetting harm, dysfunction, danger, lies, sin, and even damnation. And just like major gay activists and lesbian activists who have left homosexuality, came to Christ, and are now living in a heterosexual relationship and living for Christ, I want you to know you can come out. You're allowed to change. God says so. The Bible says so. Jesus on the cross opens his arms for you to come with any and all sin, not just sexual sin, all. He comes to conquer the sins that we've committed and bring forgiveness. But he comes to conquer the sin code, that predisposition to go against the will of God. And to open the doors dark, you know, to wider, you know, use, you know, the dark side. Bottom line, the message of the gospel is for anyone listening. Anyone that comes to the living Christ and accepts him as Lord and Savior, God comes into your life. The Spirit of God comes in. You're given the gift of eternal life and the power to live a new life. Now, you need to get into the Word of God and grow. You need to know what time it is on the prophetic clock. Now is a day where there should be more urgency in our growth in as a believer. Listen, we're already almost done with this hour, and I don't get to always say what I want to say. I run out of time. But I know God isn't running out of time with you right now. He loves you. Wherever you're at, come to Jesus. He loves you. He can change things. He can fix things. You got to come to Christ. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. This is Tuesday night, Survive to Thrive. We appreciate you listening. See you tomorrow night at 6 p.m. God bless.